It's time for Health Talk with Sheila White on FM Talk 106.5. Health Talk examines health issues that are important to you. Join the conversation with your questions and comments at 251-343-0106. Now your host, Sheila White.
My friends, and I'm glad to be back on air. I had a wonderful break this past week. But I wanted to first tell you we have a great show tonight. It's about autism. We've gotten a lot of feedback and questions and inquiries about autism, so I thought we should do a show and talk with one of the local experts about it. But first, there's a couple of things I wanted to go over. One, if you are have a parent or a family member that has dementia, you guys have a recipe that you like to cook and share with them. We've just purchased a website, Cooking with Dementia. So we're going to be doing our home care agency, a book called Cooking with Dementia. But we would like to have pictures of local families and what you guys prepare with your loved one with dementia. Something quick, easy, and safe is what we're looking for. Not a lot of just basically a quick recipe, a family recipe, a fun recipe that's popular with you and your loved one. Additionally, we are currently hiring nurses. We also have some caregiver positions open. You can call me at the office at 251-264-3009. When we get responses, a lot of you guys ask us what is required to be a caregiver. We prefer, even if you have worked less than, 3 years minimum experience. CNA is nice to have. If you're just a home health assistant, home health aide, and we require 5 years experience, but you won't be doing anything too strenuous, I would say, just companionship, et cetera. And it is a great way to add income to your current job. Also, if you're starting anew, want a second job, second career, we would welcome you to call us at 251-264-3009. I also want to promote my friend Teresa Matthews, her book, which is on Amazon.com. It's 13 Steps to the Seller. I want you to continue to support her because she is a local artist, or author, I should say. She wrote a book and has put Mobile and the Gulf Coast on the map, and we want to definitely support her. Again, if you are a nurse or if you are a CNA or HHA, call me at 251-264-3009. We are hiring, and we also have a office manager position available for our upcoming Pensacola office. You can also call me at 251-264-3009. Tonight, we have a great show. You know, my goal with this show, because my company focuses on skilled and non-skilled health home care for people in the Gulf Coast area. And my goal is to ensure that our audience, their family members, et cetera, have the best life possible. The best life living with any health condition you may have, or preventing health conditions that are preventable. Tonight, though, we're talking about autism. Autism has been one of the most requested outside of dementia topics that I've received. And I am honored to have one of the premier local experts from Birmingham, where I went to school, of course, undergrad, with me tonight. Her name is Veronica Bramlett, and I want you guys to grab a pen and paper, write down her contact information that she's about to give you, so you can call her. Autism is very near and dear to the hearts of a lot of the audience members who've requested it. So after the show tonight, I want you to be able to reach out to her, find out what resources she can directly help you with. And she's going to give us as much information tonight as possible. Hi, Veronica. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
It's nice to have you here tonight. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. Can you tell them, Ms. Bramlett, a little bit about you, where you are, what company you're with, and about what services you offer and how they can reach you tomorrow.
I am the director of Mobile Bay ABA Autism Center. We're located on Old Shell Road in Spring Hill. Our contact information...
is that Spring Hill Hospital?
You're looking? Spring Hill, the area of Mobile.
Oh, the area of Spring Hill.
we're actually very close to the campus of USA. South Alabama.
Oh, good.
Our phone number there at the clinic is 287-2442, and that's the best number for anyone to call in.
That's 287-2442. And your name is Veronica Bramlett. Mm-hmm. And the center that you work for, what is the name of the center?
Mobile Bay ABA Autism ABA. Center.
What does ABA stand for?
Applied Behavior Analysis.
Okay, Applied Behavior Analysis. You're going to make me smarter tonight. Because I really, you know, like I told you when I spoke with you, I really don't. I see autism on television, and what I saw this commercial. I don't know if you saw it. It was a Muppet commercial, like the Muppets, and the young lady came over, mm-hmm. and the music was too loud. And then she put on, they said, you know what to do. You know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. So she went and got a headset and came back and put it on. And mm-hmm. it intrigued me because, you know, I think I want to know everything. And I know nothing about autism. But that commercial really touched me mm-hmm. because, for one, it was kids not bullying her because she had autism.
Right.
But two, she basically went and put on a headset or something and it helped mm-hmm. her. To with the noise, the volume of noise.
Yes.
So basically, your center, mm-hmm. Before they call you, do they have to call a physician first? Or
they can call us if they're interested in finding out more about what we do. Mm-hmm. A little bit of what we do is provide ABA therapy, which is applied behavior analysis. It's a evidence-based therapy proven to help reduce the symptoms of children with autism.
It's oh, wow.
It's not going to cure a child of mm-hmm. autism, but it will reduce the symptoms. We also have an occupational therapist in-house who can provide occupational therapy to children, to our clients, but also to kids who have other diagnoses.
I see.
So
outside of autism.
Outside of autism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when you get autism, well, first I want to know, what is autism? We have 3 minutes to the break, but what is autism?
Autism is a developmental disorder, usually diagnosed between 18 months and 3 years old. Mm-hmm. It impairs oh, wow. the ability mm-hmm. to communicate mm-hmm. And interact.
Mm-hmm. Do you notice it right, like when you have an 18-month-old? Is it you don't notice it that well? Then I would imagine
it waxes and wanes mm-hmm. With how pediatricians can go about screening mm-hmm. for it. So a pediatrician can't diagnose; it has to be a behavioral psychologist.
Really? Mm-hmm. So I would see something, and then I would probably have to ask the doctor mm-hmm. to
and
evaluate.
Usually when children go through their well checkups. Mm-hmm. When a child gets to an 18-month-old well checkup, mm-hmm. they do a basic developmental screener.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And usually if they meet a certain amount of criteria, that's when the doctor may refer them to other testing mm-hmm. because they're just not meeting their milestones appropriately.
Oh, wow. So it's like at 18 months, if they're not doing A, B, and C, mm-hmm. then you start noticing. You may not do anything right at 18 months.
Right.
But maybe 20 months mm-hmm. or 24 months, then you say, okay, well, I need
yes.
to go in. Is there a problem? Typically, like I know you said you're not a doctor.
right.
In between the 18 and the 24 months, if you don't, are you losing time to help the baby or does it matter? Like does it matter when you are diagnosed?
That also depends on who you talk to. Mm-hmm. Some people say yes, because the earlier you receive those early intervention services, mm-hmm. such as ABA and occupational and speech therapy, the better off their prognosis will be mm-hmm. down the line. Mm-hmm. And then other people say, well, they're not necessarily
Yeah, actually, they're able to. There's not a difference right now.
There's not a difference right now. Maybe wait till they're 4 or 5.
Okay, guys, we were talking with Veronica Bramlett. Now, Veronica is over the Mobile Autism, you said ABA?
Mobile Bay ABA Autism Center.
So you can Google it if you get home and don't have a pen. But we're going to talk the rest of the night about autism, and we'll be back in a few moments to go over more information.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Back, my friends. I'm sitting here today with one of the local experts in autism, Veronica Bramlett. Hey, Veronica, can you tell them how they can reach you tomorrow?
They can call us at 287-2442 or go on our website, mobilebayaba.com, and fill in a questionnaire that we have.
And that's Mobile Bay ABA. A like Apple Boy. B like boy, A like apple. Mm-hmm. We were talking about autism and my favorite commercial on air right now. And then I was asking you about, does it make a difference when you're diagnosed? Like, do you lose valuable time if you wait? And basically, a lot of the things that we're going over is just disputed in the community. Mm-hmm. So some people believe one thing, some people believe something else. But it's just in general, I would suggest, not as a doctor, but as soon as you recognize something, to take the baby in.
Start asking questions. Go to your pediatrician. Mm-hmm. Tell them what you're seeing, and they can give you the direction to go to, whether mm-hmm. they need to go see a psychologist mm-hmm. or do extra testing for different disorders, depending on what symptoms you're seeing.
And I see it affects so many people. Like, I mm-hmm. always see people saying my child has autism. I just can't figure out what it is. I don't understand. What is it? What is autism?
It's a developmental disorder. Mm-hmm. It affects the neurological system. Mm-hmm. It impairs the ability to communicate.
Mm-hmm. So it affects the neurological system where you're unable to communicate at the same level as your peers. Mm-hmm. And there's resources that help you to better cope with that neurological disorder. Mm-hmm. Like the young lady with the music. It was would music bother her, though?
So a lot of kids have, and adults with autism too, have noise sensitivity.
Oh, I see.
And that falls under what some people classify as auditory processing.
Mm-hmm.
They either process too much, mm-hmm. too fast through the auditory channels, or not enough, mm-hmm. and it gets all convoluted when they hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And so wearing the headphones sort of turns out the background noise and lets them focus on what's going on right in front of them at hand.
I see. The headphones, basically, is it a silencer headphone or is it? I'm just so intrigued
by
the commercial.
You can do noise canceling headphones.
Really?
And they sort of muffle mm-hmm. the sound. Then some kids just like the comfort of something there mm-hmm. cutting the not necessarily canceling the noise out, but lowering the volume.
Mm-hmm.
But then other kids love the noise and they embrace the noise mm-hmm. that's around them and feed off the noise.
What is the cause? Like what causes? Is it just a neurological disorder?
They don't know an exact cause. Mm-hmm. There's still research being done. There's genetic research being done. Is it a genetic neurological disorder? There's environmental research being done. Is it something that's in the environment or household settings that can cause the symptoms? It's just one of those things that they know it's there and they know it's existing in this part of the brain, but they don't know what has caused it.
And you were saying something about you know, as I would say, if I have a child older, that more a lot of times people think it's the male that may or the female, or is that something not known as either?
It gets thrown around. It, you know, a lot of people are saying that maybe it's the father that carries the gene, but there's still so little research in that arena that you can't really. That's just one of the theories, of where it comes from.
And you, you were special ed education. Mm-hmm. So in special ed, now, because you asked the question, you know, the producer, you asked the question earlier, sir. You said you asked about IQ.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's a relationship between autism and IQ. And I think a lot of people assume that if they see particularly a child with autism that they assume immediately that perhaps their lower IQ. Is there a relationship?
No, there's not. You know, we have had kids in the past, currently have kids that we service who have IQs well into the 130s and 140s, and they're 6, 7, 8 years old.
Wow.
And that's a IQ that you don't always see in that age range. And they are kids who are misunderstood because of how smart they are, you wouldn't be able to see the kid walking down the street and be like, oh, hey, they probably have autism, because they act like any other typical kid.
Right.
There are cases where kids who have lower IQs too, but then that would be a dual diagnosis of a cognitive disability and autism at the same time. Because they're not related.
Children with autism, can they learn in the normal way?
They can. A lot of them can. A lot of them also need specialized secondary instruction so they can learn and absorb the information one way, and then have someone else come in behind that and just reinforce what's been taught to them, and they usually get it.
But can they, you know, learn from a textbook or listening to a lecture?
Yeah, they can.
Is there certain things you have to do to make it easier for them?
Not necessarily. It just all depends on the kid. There's a good saying in the autism community, you've met one child with autism, you've met one child with autism. It's not like a Down syndrome diagnosis where, you know, usually a child with Down syndrome has a low IQ and has, you know, facial features that are recognizable. And children with autism, they're not like that. We have children who are nonverbal but have high IQs. We have children with high IQs but really impaired social skills. They're just all different. They're not all the same.
So you taught special ed.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a condition you saw in a lot of – do people put kids with autism in special ed just because they don't know how to manage – would you say that, like, because I think a lot of kids are in special ed because there's no resources that can cater to their special needs to learn.
Yeah. Autism is a unique disability. Mm-hmm. It's a very fast-growing, diagnosed. And I think there are so many people now diagnosed with autism that's it's overwhelming to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily that they can't handle it or they don't know how. It's just...
And they put them in special ed in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember ADD? ADD?
Yes.
It's when listening to you, it sounds the same. Not the conditions, but just how everybody now has ADD. Remember back in the day, everybody had ADD. Now, I know for a fact I have it. I really do, because I can't function without 30 things going on at once.
Mm-hmm.
But once that diagnosis came out, all the kids were diagnosed with ADD. Is that the same thing that's happening with autism?
yes and no, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell, and it varies in school systems and in communities. Mm-hmm. You know, some communities are very forward in their services, and other communities are very lacking in their services. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Mobile, where we are the only freestanding clinic that offers ABA south of Montgomery.
Yeah, I saw that. And I because I was researching it online, and I came across you, and I was like, oh, my God, there is someone here. There is not a lot of resources.
No. You go to Birmingham, and you'll see a clinic on every corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huntsville's the same way, a clinic everywhere. But it's here, it's limited. There are some clinics in Pensacola and some clinics in Mississippi on the Gulf Coast, but for Alabama, we're it.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. But in terms of autism, you have a very special niche that mm-hmm. you handle that we're going to talk about after the break. And you said it's behavioral. Mm-hmm. Just in a quick 30-second,
It's applied behavior analysis, which is the leading scientific evidence-based therapy to treat children with autism. It's not going to cure them, but it will help reduce the significance of their symptoms later in life.
Oh, I see. Later in life. Mm-hmm. And does it train you how to live with autism? Like the behavior, like you have this behavior sign. This is what you should do to resolve it.
It teaches replacement behaviors.
Replacement behaviors, mm-hmm. I see. Which is something that is, I guess, to me, is similar to the commercial that I saw. But thanks, guys, for listening to us tonight. We are still on. We'll be back in a few moments. We're still talking with Veronica Bramlett, who is the local expert in autism here in Mobile Bay and the state, I would say, because there's not a lot of resources. We will see you after the break.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Welcome back, my friends. I'm talking with Veronica Bramlett, and I'm very intrigued by her and her knowledge on autism. I've learned so much just from this few moments we've talked because, like I said before we had the show, I had no clue. I've heard about it so much, I have no clue what autism is. And you're with, if I want to call you tomorrow, if I have a kid that is diagnosed with autism, how do I reach you?
287-2442 is mm-hmm. our phone number at our clinic.
And why would I call your organization? What would be the reason?
To get therapy or to find out information mm-hmm.
For your baby,
yeah,
or your child.
For your
so
child.
If you have a child that has autism, I would contact you because you have resources mm-hmm. that can assist with like behavioral training. So the reason I would call is because you can help my child have a better, I would just mean without being a doctor, have a better life mm-hmm. Living with autism, because that's the whole goal in the show. It's like we want people to live their best life. You can, not everybody's going to be healthy. Like not everybody's right. going to have 100% health. We all going to be diagnosed with something. Like I told you, I have ADD and I have so much other stuff. I can't see, you know, I don't have a lot. Uh-huh. But I'm happy. I live my best life. I've right. learned how to train and adjust and live. Mm-hmm. And I live within my conditions mm-hmm. Without people even knowing. Because without me even knowing now, because I'm so trained that, you know, I can't see this way, so I have to do this way.
Right.
So in terms of autism, how is it diagnosed?
So usually, like I said earlier, your pediatrician will do a screener at 18 months. Sometimes they do them at a year old. And then they refer you to a developmental psychologist, mm-hmm. a behavior psychologist, a pediatric psychologist. And those are the practitioners who can diagnose mm-hmm. autism.
And is it psychiatrists you need or psychologists?
Psychologists.
Okay, so they can't
diagnose it. A clinical psychologist.
I see.
And so they perform specific assessments mm-hmm. geared towards a diagnosis of autism, and then based on the information they gather from that is.
I see. Now, is there a cure for autism yeah. once you're diagnosed?
There's not a cure. You can get therapies mm-hmm. that will help decrease your mm-hmm. symptoms. ABA therapy, applied behavior analysis, occupational therapy, speech therapy, mm-hmm. physical therapy, and there's other ones out there.
There's treatments for autism, mm-hmm. but there's not a cure for autism.
There's not.
And if I'm diagnosed with autism, and you are diagnosed, let's say, mm-hmm. do we have if someone diagnosed with cancer, typically the conditions are the same, mm-hmm. you know, within the two diagnoses. But with autism, are they the same, or would my diagnosis be totally different than yours?
It can be totally different.
Oh, wow.
Kids, you can meet one child with autism, and you've mm-hmm. met one child with autism. Mm-hmm. They can have varying...
You said that earlier.
They can have mm-hmm. varying developmental delays. Mm-hmm. There are some kids who can be great at fine motor skills, mm-hmm. and then other kids have severe deficiencies mm-hmm. in fine motor skills. They're completely nonverbal children, but then children who have IQs of 130, 140 and can recite.
Mm-hmm. Like a book. A
novel. Yeah.
My question for you is, I've seen where people have said that Sally hasn't spoken in 3 years. She mm-hmm. has autism. Is that true? It's something else.
It can vary. There are usually, if your child hasn't said their first word by the time they're two, mm-hmm. That's a sign that something's going on. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily autism.
It can be anything.
It can be a speech delay. Mm-hmm. It can be a gamut of other things. Mm-hmm. And so what doctors like to do is they run all the tests and mm-hmm, then mm-hmm. Refer you to who they think is the best.
So there's nothing I can do if I'm pregnant to prevent my child from getting autism.
No.
They're going to be – is it like a gene that the doctors have found?
They
really
don't
know.
They haven't – I don't know. Right now, it's so early, still early on in the research that there's a multitude of things that could be the cause, but not necessarily one thing that is.
You were telling me earlier about, are there any signs that you know of that people should look for?
Kids who have communication delays, saying their first words late, difficulty, older kids who have difficulty with social interactions, mm-hmm. difficulty going to public places, if they have any type of repetitive behaviors. I know a big thing used to be if kids line things up. And they just line animals up and blocks up and cars up, and they just like to line them up all the time. That's a repetitive behavior.
So it's repetition mm-hmm. in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, like lining up every day, lining up. You have a bunch of toy tigers, for example, mm-hmm. and you line them up every day. And if someone walks in and picks one up, does that drive you crazy typically?
Usually, more than likely, a child will have some type of behavior if that happens because you've messed with their toys.
Oh, I see.
mm-hmm. But You know, it could be because you've messed with their toys, or it could be because they want it in a line and that's how they put it, and you're not supposed to touch their stuff.
Are there any special schools in Alabama for kids with autism?
In Alabama as a whole?
Or that you know of?
There's a program in Birmingham called Glenwood that does early they just opened a preschool, I think, and they go all the way to adults and residential facilities. And that's outside of public school.
So they would you go to public school, then go there?
Or no, okay, you would go there strictly for their services. There are residential facilities all across the state. And they're run by different organizations, but there's not necessarily
a school, so to speak,
school like you would see it. There's clinics who can do school type settings, and then I guess there's clinics who offer a private education option, but not necessarily a school for children with autism that I know of.
I see. Well, okay, so is that, do you think that's a need down here? Because I would think, like, do you think, like, is there a, like, can a regular school do enough, basically? Can a regular school do enough?
They should.
Or is that a tricky question?
It is a tricky question. They should be able to do enough. But you get stuck in the instance where there's, you know, a ton of kids with autism in one school, so that school gets overwhelmed, and then they don't do what they should be doing. Or, you know, a school in a low income area that just doesn't have the resources.
I would think that would be a huge problem, like low income, because if you don't get the resources you need from school, your grades fall, you know, but you know, there comes a point, and this is just me looking outside in, that a school can really only do so much, right? So there has to be some type of services put in place.
Right.
Poor kids with autism,
because different counties in Alabama have ABA therapists, BCBAs, the board certified behavior analysts. They're the ones who implement the therapy, the ABA therapy.
They go into the schools, and
they can go into the schools, provide observations. We actually can go into the school system and give and make an observation on a child, but we can't provide the services in the school.
I just feel like you dump a bunch of apples in a basket, you know? Like, some people have this, some people have this. But with autism being so prevalent, it seems like there will be classes or something, because you cannot... I mean, teachers, like you said, you taught for 35. You taught school, did you not?
Did you I did.
It's very difficult to teach everyone with their learning skills or learning disabilities, because everybody's different.
One
person
different.
Has autism. You know, me, they don't diagnose it anymore. I had ADHD. So how is that possible to do that? How does a child with autism get the best education possible?
There are, you know, when you go through a teaching education program at a university, some of them have classes that teach you how to do that.
I see.
Other school colleges, universities don't have that.
So what, I don't want to interrupt, but we keep talking about other things, but you have a specific niche that your group does. What is that?
We do behavior analysis, but we focus on early intervention behavior therapy.
What age do you?
Our focus is ages 2 to 6.
Okay, 2 to 6.
We do social skills in the afternoons for kids who are above H6. Mm-hmm. And so we, when they come, we focus strictly on growing their social skills, mm-hmm. and them interacting with each other and being able to interact in the community appropriately.
And you, we'll go over the spectrum of care we talked about. Mm-hmm. Like you were telling me there's a spectrum
right.
earlier. And so just to learn a little bit more about exactly what you do, we're talking with Veronica. Veronica Bramlett, she is with Mobile Bay, ABA, right, mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm.
And she focuses on autism, kids with autism from age two, you said from
two
age,
to six.
Age two to six. To come to you, they need to have a diagnosis from a doctor, correct?
Right.
And if I don't have the diagnosis, do I just call my doctor or do I have to go into my doctor?
You would have to go in and testing would need to be done.
Okay, got it. And then is insurance required?
We bill through insurance.
Can I pay if I don't have insurance?
Yes, we have that option as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, we'll continue talking with Veronica after the break. Thank you guys for listening. And please call her if you have a child between the ages of 2 and 6 with autism. We'll be back shortly.
You are listening to Health Talk with Sheila White and friends. Health Talk is sponsored by NurseTel, online at nursetel.com. That's NURSETEL.com. Sheila White believes that we all can live our fullest life, regardless of the specific medical condition we face. Health Talk provides the resources that we all need to live our best life, independent and free.
Welcome back, friends. I am here with Veronica Bramlett. She's with Mobile Bay ABA. What's the phone number?
287-2442.
287-2442. Again, that's 287-2442. Quick note, we were talking during the break, and one thing that really kind of got under my skin a little bit is adults. You know, mm-hmm. you focus on kids,
right?
Which is great, you know. But there are a lot of adults that have autism,
mm-hmm.
and I was asking you if you knew, because I know it's not your specialty. What happens to them?
You know, it all depends on their family and what their mm-hmm. family wants them to do. They usually get put in residential facilities,
residential
group
facilities.
Homes.
Mm-hmm.
But there is,
there is some resources available,
yes.
which is very, even more limited than the kids.
Right.
Yes, and which is really sad to me.
And that could fall into part with the insurance process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when they go to see their doctor, they probably have some recommendations for them for dealing, possibly.
sometimes what they can do is contact the Autism Society
mm-hmm.
Of Alabama. And there's a local branch of Autism mm-hmm. Society in Mobile, and also the Regional Autism Network
mm-hmm.
At South Alabama, and they have a better understanding of resources for the adult population.
Okay. So in terms of you and what you do, mm-hmm. I want to go over more specifically what you do in terms of autism, because we talked about a lot about how it's diagnosed mm-hmm. and, you know, et cetera, all the stuff that, you know, we're not doctors, but
right.
what we see, you mm-hmm. know, in general. So we're not giving medical advice here, guys. We're just talking, having a conversation about autism and what resources are available.
Mm-hmm.
And today is focused on kids, right?
Right.
Like on kids. So I'm at the doctor. I have mm-hmm. my kid with me. And the doctor says, your kid has autism.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get me to you? How do I get to you? Or why would they send me to you?
So according to the insurance mandate, so insurance was passed mm-hmm. Mandating or the legislation in Alabama passed an insurance mandate in 2017
mm-hmm.
requiring all insurance companies within the state to cover ABA therapy for children with autism. To get those services, mm-hmm. we have to have a referral from either a pediatrician or the mm-hmm. diagnosing doctor.
And what services do you provide?
ABA therapy.
What is that?
Applied behavior analysis.
Applied behavioral analysis. So I bring my child to you and you run tests. Mm-hmm. Now, these aren't intrusive tests. They're just questions.
It's an assessment based on their developmental milestones, their behaviors.
Oh, wow. You're just so intelligent. And I just love this. I'm learning so much.
And so based off of those assessments that mm-hmm. the board certified behavior analysis performs is how many hours of therapy you should receive.
I see. So the Q&A session, mm-hmm. What are like some of the sample things you test or you question that you can say?
A lot of it focuses on language skills. Mm-hmm. So can a child request an object? Like if they're thirsty, do they know to say, I want something to drink or water, please? If they can't say that, that's a deficit.
Mm-hmm. Are you asking verbal questions or is it written on paper? I would guess 2 years old.
It depends on the area that you're focusing on. You will give verbal questions. You will present pictures and ask them to identify by touching objects. Mm-hmm. You can role play with the child to see how well they can actually play. Play mm-hmm. skills is a big deficit. A child may play what they think is playing with a car, but they're spinning the car on their top.
I see.
And that's not a functional way to play with that car. Mm-hmm. You want to roll the car back and forth.
You just absorb.
And right.
Is mm-hmm. the child like in a room where you just observe them?
Yes, we have
hours?
An assessment room with a one-way window so mm-hmm. parents can watch the assessment take place. And then the behavior analysis also does question and answer with the parent to figure out, what they see going on and what they want to see progress with the child.
I see. Is there some children that come in that just can't be helped beyond a certain level? Or is it everyone, once they're diagnosed, there are tools and resources that can help them?
There are tools and resources out there available for most children.
Not everyone.
I say that because if you have significant maladaptive behaviors, such as severe aggression to yourself or to others, that may be something that needs to be handled somewhere else and not in our clinical setting per se, but maybe in a different clinical setting.
Mm-hmm. Do they, what type of financial support do the government, do they get any financial support through the government?
I'm not sure.
Just curious in terms of the cost associated with treating someone. So, just a general thought, because I would imagine it would be pretty
well, steep. And that's why it falls into the, insurance mandate with insurance covering it now. Depending on a parent's copay for their insurance, they could be paying $35 a day.
I see.
For their session, but sessions usually last for early intervention 5 to 7 hours.
When I go and I get diagnosed at your facility, like in my behavior.
Well, and we don't diagnose.
Well, what is it called?
We do the treatment.
Okay, the treatment.
So you have to go to the clinical psychologist to do the to get the diagnosis, and then they refer to us.
And then we do you test.
We do a developmental testing
to determine what treatments will be available.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Well, how long is that process?
To get the diagnosis, or
from
end,
start to finish,
it can be anywhere from 2 to 9 months, depending on the availability of the clinical psychologist. A lot of clinical psychologists have, you know, they're scheduling out 6 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a wait list for our older social skill kids. Right now we're accepting the 2 to 6 year old kids. But usually when we have a wait list, we don't know when that wait list is going to have an opening, because once you start therapy, you don't see an end to that therapy for a couple of years.
Well, tonight we've been talking with Veronica Bramlett. Veronica, I want to thank you for coming out tonight. We're going to have to do this again so we can finish, because there's so much.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are affected by autism. And I didn't, before I met you, I had no clue what it was. And now I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think we still have more to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And I can get our BCBA, our board certified
we'll
behavior analysis.
Month. And then we'll have
on here.
In the audience, guys, send me questions. You can also call me at 251-264-3009. Remember, we have those jobs that are open, and if you're interested in employment. But also, most importantly, the cookbook. I really would like pictures. And they put in the book of you cooking with a family member that has dementia. It's called Cooking with Dementia. But I don't want Veronica to leave, because I want her to tell you how to reach her as the closing remarks tonight. And then we'll have her back on hopefully next month. So how can they reach you, Veronica?
They can call us at 287-2442.
Thank you guys for joining us tonight, and have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening.